Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. I have been talking to you most of the time that we have been on the air about the second coming of the Lord and the rapture in particular. And I want to continue that theme as we are going to look at the agricultural patterns in Scripture. The Lord uses many agrarian patterns throughout the Scriptures in both the Old and New Testament, because in ages past, man was much more agriculturally minded. A greater portion of the population of mankind dwelt on farms, tending gardens, fields of crops, orchards, and or vineyards. For example, the Apostle Paul said, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You reap what you sow." Sowing seed means planting seeds. Reaping is just another expression for the more common word, harvest. The Lord uses these agricultural patterns, examples, types, or likenesses throughout the Scriptures to explain heavenly or spiritual things so man can easily understand the Lord's principles. The Lord Jesus Christ chided Nicodemus for not understanding earthly things regarding the second birth. He said, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Some of the Old Testament feast days were centered around agricultural events, like sowing and reaping, which the Lord used as patterns of prophetical events, as we hopefully will learn in today's lesson. Let's observe some of the verses in Scripture that address these patterns. "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heavenly or in but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." This is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. What the Apostle Paul is teaching us here in the book of Hebrews, the earthly Jewish or Old Testament tabernacle or temple was a pattern of heavenly things. But the true Holy of Holies is in heaven, the third heaven, and required the sprinkling of blood of a better sacrifice instead of bulls, goats, and lambs by a greater high priest than the sons of Aaron. Jesus is both the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and he is the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, sitting in the everlasting Holy of Holies. There was a direct relationship between Israel's obedience to God's commandments and the yield of crops at harvest time. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, we learn, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely." The threshing was a threshing floor where the chaff was broken up from the kernel of wheat. The vintage speaks of the harvest of the vineyard. Note how God promised to bless those who tithe to the Lord. The Lord honors those who give their substance to the Lord. The Lord says here in Proverbs chapter 3, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." In Psalm 126, verse 6, that verse has been an inspiration to those who have a great zeal to evangelize the world. The scripture says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The Lord tells us to be careful for nothing, meaning do not be anxious, but consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? A believer in Jesus Christ is to be a living sacrifice, dying to self, dying to the carnal fleshly desires, and living according to the perfect will of God. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." Let me explain what that corn means. In Old English, the definition of corn was a grain or kernel. It did not specifically mean the corn that we think of in our day and age, it had a different definition in the King James Bible. 400 years ago, corn meant grain or kernel. So except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. That's talking about dying to oneself. Again, we see another similar agrarian picture of seed buried in the ground and dying. This explanation is by the Apostle Paul. Some men will say, "How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened." Quickened means to be made alive, except it die. "And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as he hath pleased, to every seed his own body. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body," the Apostle Paul. We see in baptism also this bearing to the flesh. We say buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is a picture of true believers' baptism. We see this in Romans chapter 6, which is still an indispensable ordinance for the church to this very day. Infant baptism and sprinkling are not biblical baptism as prescribed in the New Testament, for the obvious reason it cannot paint this picture of spiritual burial of the carnal nature. Also, faith must come first before baptism, which a baby cannot profess. True believers' baptism is immersion in water after the profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is always like man to distort and twist the truth found in Scripture, like putting baptism before faith when Scripture dictates faith first, then baptism. Infant baptism is like putting new wine in old bottles. The emblem in Scripture for Jerusalem or Israel is the fig tree with roots driven deeply into the earth, which abides deeply rooted in this world. It's a perennial plant, existing for a long time, perpetual. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it was fruitless. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." That fig tree spoke of Jerusalem, of Israel. But then Jesus teaches a little later in the Scriptures an end-time prophecy about the fig tree reviving. The Lord Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." That's speaking about the Jerusalem, Israel, coming back to life. Many of your prophecy teachers equate that with 1948, when Israel became a nation again. The summer is near. The new millennium is about to take place. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, chapter 11, uses an olive branch or an olive tree as representative of Israel. The branch of Israel has been broken off, and the Gentile believers, a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild tree, a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partaketh of the fruit, of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. The church's emblem, however, as illustrated by the Lord, is wheat, a fragile annular with no physical power to resist earth's storms, and passing rapidly from the earth in successive harvests. The church's gardener, the gardener is just another name for granary, barn, or silo, the church's gardener is a better world to come. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That is a picture of the church, my friends. It is extremely useful to see and understand the almost unlimited agrarian patterns found in Scripture that the Lord uses to illustrate his marvelous redemption plan for mankind by faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ began the sowing when he first came, sowing the seed of the gospel of the kingdom of God. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the good seed. Again, we see this in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Paul then explains our responsibility as disciples to continue to sow and water. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Again, the Lord Jesus gives a multitude of parables and illustrations using agrarian patterns to heighten the disciples' awareness of the lesson he is conveying regarding their behavior in the earth prior to his return. We see this in the parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew chapter 13. Also in Matthew 13, we see this in the parable of the wheat and tares. Some fruit in a harvest comes earlier than the bulk of the fruit, and this part of the harvest is called the first fruit, that springs up sooner than the rest of the crop. The first fruits are considered to have matured earlier than the rest of the harvest. In the biblical sense, the first fruits are the living saints during the return of the Lord who have sanctified themselves or purified themselves of the leaven, sin of the flesh, and are ready for harvest sooner than the rest. They are the overcomers. Rapture can be thought of as a harvest where some will be raptured sooner than the rest of the wheat because they have matured faster under the heat of persecution and suffering. So rapture can be thought of as a harvest. The Apostle Paul says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The rest of the harvest needs time to mature under the fiery trials of suffering. Wheat matures as the kernel of wheat dries under the heat of the scorching sun and reaches a low moisture content while the shaft of the wheat turns to a golden brown and bows under the weight of the kernels. That speaks to the humility of the believer and dying to oneself. This pattern is seen in the first fruits, the feast of the first fruits found in the law of Moses. In Leviticus chapter 23, we find in verse 9 the start of the feast, and it says in verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye become into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf, just a sheaf, of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priests. This speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this occurred at the time of the Passover. And this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. It was to be a wave offering, and they were to bring a he lamb. And then they were to count 50 days from that date, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who ascended up into heaven, was buried, rose again, and then ascended into heaven. And that sheaf speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. 50 days later, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles in the upper room, it also has a prophetical sense of something that will take place in the future. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Again, speaking of first fruits with the wheat that is matured earlier than the rest of the harvest, and they were to make 2 loaves of bread, and they were to bake them with leaven. And then there was the harvest, and the Lord tells Israel that when they reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. We read about the gleanings in the book of Ruth. That is how Ruth met Boaz. So there are 3 parts to a harvest. There is the first fruits, there is the main harvest, and then there is the gleanings. The split rapture is seen in Elijah being taken out of the earth by a chariot of fire and of horses. We talked about this last week. Elijah was left behind with a double blessing of the Spirit to finish his maturing in the earth. Also, the split rapture can be seen in the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and left behind, while the other 5 were counted as wise, for they did not let their lamps go out. The book of Revelation is the book of consummation, as we talked about last week, means the book of completion or the book of last things, the book of end times. The book of Revelation has 7 divisions. There are 7 churches, 7 seals, seven trumpets, seven personages, seven vials, seven dooms, and seven new things. There are also seven raptures spoken of in the book of Revelation, though not all are distinct one from another. John's vision, right after the seven churches, mirrors the pre-tribulation rapture, as we discussed last week. The pre-tribulation is first illustrated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. John the Revelator said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." John sees the multitude, again, of pre-tribulation raptured saints before the throne of God. Last week I discussed with you that there are two great tribulations, one during the church age, great in duration, 2,000 years, and one after the church age, great in intensity, but short in duration. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These are they which came out of great tribulation and hath washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for listening this morning. I hope you will join me next week and hear the conclusion of this message. Join us this morning at Crown of Life Baptist Church. We are meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 10 o'clock in the Hamilton Hall Conference Room.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.